Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this morning we are in our Culture of the Kingdom series. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, line by line or theme by theme. It's a little bit of both, we are currently at the tail end of the Beatitudes. This is Culture of the Kingdom. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And so this series has been good for me, and I hope for many of you, just getting plumb-lined back to basic Christianity. You know, we so often get distracted with the things about life, and then we've somehow made those Christian-y, you know, and the things about life that really just don't matter that much. The things about life that really aren't the point of our existence. It's really not even the focus. It's not the way that we're really even supposed to be processing life, the lens that we're supposed to be viewing things through. And going back to the Sermon on the Mount is a return to a lens trying to get us the culture of the kingdom of God. And I've just been so grateful for the word and for these verses and this series, even in my own heart, of reminding myself about what matters and about the way that we're supposed to live with one another and have a community and relate to the lost. It's just been so good for me. And so this morning will be kind of the cherry on top of that kind of a thought process, because the title is, and the beatitude that we're going to look at this morning is, blessed are those who are persecuted. And you just kind of have to ask yourself the question, how can that possibly be? How can it be a good thing to get persecuted? Like, man just cannot wait to wake up tomorrow morning and get persecuted, have everything taken from me, and, you know, possibly die a martyr. Yippee. Like, how in the world is this a blessed thing? And yet Jesus can't lie. I mean, so these are Jesus' words. So somehow these two things, blessed, persecuted, somehow these two things have to go together. And so I want to spend this morning kind of unpacking that a little bit. The typical view, of course, is that persecution is a bad thing. But let's read it. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things that I think is unique about this particular beatitude is this is the one Jesus actually said the most about. All the other beatitudes, he said, blessed are you if you thing, and then the good thing happens. And then he moves on to the next one. He says, blessed are you if you do the thing, and then the good thing happens. And he just moves on to the next. Not so with persecution. With this last one where he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, he then develops it significantly further. He gives us more information. And so I want to give us Matthew 5, I think it's actually supposed to be 10 through 12. I probably put the wrong verse up there, yeah. 10 through 12. But look at all this. There's more meat here. We got more information. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. He's still talking about persecution. When they persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Jesus gives us more information about the one on persecution. It's the last one. It's the tail end. Jesus is smart enough to develop his outlines in his head before he preaches them. He knows persecution is going to be the last on his list of his beatitudes, where he's going to say, blessed are you if you this, blessed are you if you this. He ends with persecution, and I want to kind of camp out there for a minute. I want to talk a little bit about why. This is Jesus ending the Beatitudes, which he knows he's going to then transition into the next section of the Sermon on the Mount as soon as he's done with these Beatitudes. He's ending the Beatitudes with a longer, you could even call it an exclamation point, on this particular one. He's highlighting it as of great importance, something we really want to pay attention to. I mean, all the Beatitudes, they're catchy, they're important, they're valuable for life, and we've been going through them week to week and just kind of seeing the way that they impact our lives. But Jesus spends the most time on this particular one. He's got more to say about it, significantly more. And I think that it's because he's highlighting this heart attitude because of how important it is to the life of the believer that we understand this. So I want to just give us a couple of definitions here of persecution. Persecution, it could take a lot of different forms. The general, if you need just one word, it's bad. People doing bad to you. All right? If you just need a simple word to take away today, I went to church, I learned something very theological. Brad says it's bad. When bad things happen to you because you're a Christian, this is the way that that persecution kind of fleshes out. It's hostility and ill treatment towards a person because of their following Jesus, because of their stand for Jesus, or because of, you know, the way that they're posturing themselves, things that they're saying, things that they're doing for Jesus. That's what persecution is. Well, some severe examples, which we're pretty sheltered from, honestly, but some severe examples are imprisonment because of your, you know, take on Jesus, physical harm, confiscation of property, legal action put against you because of your stand for Jesus, public character defamation. That's not a fun one at all. Happens a little bit in our society, but not near as much as it does in other places. These are some severe examples of persecution. But do you notice that in Jesus's unpacking of what he meant by persecution, his first talk, point after he says, you're blessed if you're persecuted, the very first thing that he says is when people insult you and they say bad stuff against you. Jesus is recognizing that the primary expression of persecution, not the only, but the primary expression of persecution is actually people are going to say stuff about you that's untrue. People are going to say stuff about you that is true, but they're going to slant it and make it sound like a bad thing. You love Jesus. You're so bad because you love him. It's like Jesus is saying on the front end, I recognize there will be a significant amount of persecution that you will face, and the primary way that that's going to show up, though not the only, is the way that people speak about you, the way that they deal with you because of because of your stand for Jesus. So typically in our culture, the way persecution shows up is more in the form of social and verbal, malignment, financial penalties sometimes, but the most often is people just talking bad about you. And we don't like that, man. It hurts us when people revile us, when they resist us, when they ostracize us for our stand for Christ. I want for this morning, the point that I'm hoping to drive home in our discussion on what it means to be blessed when you're persecuted, my hope is actually to get us having a right approach to the subject of persecution, that we would think rightly about it, that we would posture ourselves, like, why did Jesus say all this stuff about persecution? Why did he say more about this beatitude than any of the others? Why did he do that? I want us to get what I believe to be the message for that. And part of it comes down to our attitude, a significant part of it, the manner in which we navigate it. So just think about this. Think about the heart of what Jesus is communicating here. He's saying, blessed are you when you're persecuted, when they say insulting things about you. And your response, just try not to ever do this, your response when somebody insults you is to insult them back and call them a big dummy. Your solution when somebody insults you because of Christ and they give you a hard time and they withhold things from you, your solution is to go out and exacto knife their tires. Your solution is to, you know, to ruin their kid's birthday party. It's like, well, that's, yeah, I don't know that you're really blessed if you're persecuted and that's your response. I think our attitudes in response to the persecution are just as much a part of the blessing, just as much of a part of the message as it is that we stood for Jesus in the first place. You can actually really wind up messing up your witness for Jesus if you did so good that you got persecuted for Jesus. And because of that persecution, then you turned around and had such a bad attitude that then they had legitimate reason to persecute you. You kind of like turn it upside down on yourself. So I think navigating persecution is a significant point here. And one of the biggest parts of that attitude is the subject of forgiveness. Now think about the situation a minute ago where I was describing. They persecute you and your immediate response is to snap right back at them. Your immediate response is to go plan the demise of their vehicle, okay? What's happening there is actually unforgiveness welling up and finding expression in a moment. And so the subject of forgiveness is essential to the subject of persecution because you cannot navigate persecution with an unforgiving heart. You have got to struggle, strive, work to have forgiveness in your heart. And the subject of forgiveness, hopefully we'll be able to cover this more in a later message while we're in the Sermon on the Mount doing the culture of the kingdom. The subject of forgiveness is all over the Sermon on the Mount. It shows up again and again and again. It's almost like the subject of forgiveness is our way in the kingdom, that we're able to handle all the bad and the crud that happens on the planet and that happens as a result of us being in Christ. Well, I think another component of the way that we navigate the persecution is we have the blessing in mind. Look at this. Blessed are those who are persecuted. There it is once. Blessed are you when people insult you. There it is again. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You have three times in three lines that we're told, don't focus on the bad thing. Focus on the God who gives good things to those who have bad things happen to him because of Christ. It's about perspective. Now, if all you're thinking about in the moment where people are reviling you, they're taking advantage of you, you didn't get the promotion because you're a Christian, they gave it to the other guy or gal, if all you're thinking about is the bad thing that just happened, you're completely missing the blessing that's supposed to be yours in the midst of the persecution moment. God sees me. You know what? One of the greatest lenses for the kingdom. If we can train every new believer in this one thought process, it will change the life of any individual. God is real and he sees me all the time. He sees the little movements of my heart that no one else sees. He sees me when I do stuff that I don't want anybody to know I did. God is real and he's got big eyeballs and he's looking at me. If every believer walked around with that revelation as a living understanding, it would be transformational. We want to be those that recognize we are serving a God who promises to bless us in the midst of those persecution moments. Those are the persecution moments. They can come from a family member. They can come from a dear friend. They can come from another believer. They can come from a lost person. They can come from somebody driving down the road. I got to tell you this crazy story. This happened to me yesterday. This was so crazy. Okay. I'm driving down Bowen and I see a car and it's got a couple of bumper stickers, and the bumper stickers, the letters are pretty small, and I just can't help myself. I've got to drive like I got to see it, you know? Okay. So I'm driving down Bowen and it's something like, well, anyway, they were totally not appropriate bumper stickers with a couple of mama jokes in there, but it was pretty bad. Okay. But anyway, so I'm reading it and I'm like, well, that guy's probably got a real attitude or whatever. And But I didn't tailgate him. I kept my distance, and you know, I was good about that. And all of a sudden, I'm driving by him, and I kid you not, I have not done anything to this guy. This guy looks at me, gives me the most evil face, and flips me the bird. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, man, you're having a really bad day. And I just smiled real big at him. I was just like, and I just kept driving, you know? I was like, what do you do? I mean, I did nothing. I thought about it 10 times. I was like, what did I do to merit giving the middle finger? Like, I don't understand. It's just, you know what part of it is? We live in the kingdom of light, and darkness senses light. And sometimes you're going to get picked on just because you're a believer and the spirits know it. You didn't even have to do anything to tick anybody off. Sometimes you're just going to get persecuted because you've got the light of Jesus living in you. And I just had that moment yesterday. I was like, dang, that'll make a great sermon illustration. Well, okay, maybe this is redemptive. I could live with this. But man, that guy looked at me mean. I had to kind of brush it off. It was a little yucky. All right. Well, let me give you, in addition to the opposite of persecution, the opposite of embracing persecution being, you know, retaliation, which is what we talked about a second ago. Let me give you another opposite of persecution. Figuring out everything in your natural self to avoid it. Cowardice. The natural inclination of the human heart is to avoid conflict. And some of that is a helpful self-defense mechanism, protective clause. But there are times, like lots of them, where we need to take a stand. And not taking a stand is cowardice. I mean, not taking a stand is shying back And we don't want to be those that do that. Give you a couple of verses here that are just like, yuck. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be on the bad side of this. Revelation 21, verse 8, and then also 2 Timothy 2. But the cowardly, I think that's crazy that Jesus starts his list the list of those that are going to wind up experiencing the lake of fire. Oh my gosh. He starts the list with cowards. He says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers. How is it that being cowardly and being a murderer in the same list out of the mouth of Jesus they are? The cowardly, those that won't take a stand for Jesus. We say he's our Lord, but don't take a stand for him. The cowardly, the sexually immoral, their place will be the lake of fire. This is the second death. 2 Timothy tells us the way out, though. 2 Timothy 2. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. You think the Holy Spirit living in you is like a sad little badger? Like the spirit animal of the Holy Spirit's a sad badger. Just can't move, can't speak, can't do nothing. He's a lion. You got a lion living in you. You were not given a spirit of timidity. You got a roaring lion in there. Amen. And you were not given that spirit of timidity, but you were given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. So yes, I get it. You and yourself, you're scared. You got one who ain't scared. He's living within you. Tap into the grace of the Holy Spirit living within you and go, Holy Spirit, help me. You are not a timid Holy Spirit. So help me not be a timid carrier of the Holy Spirit. We just don't want to be those that shy away. Well, one of the biggest points about Jesus' statement related to the subject of persecution is it's not persecution for being a big dummy. It's persecution because of righteousness. Persecution because of righteousness, not because of religiousness. It's not because you talked religiously. That's kind of boring and lame. It's because you were so righteous, you disturbed people. It's because you walked with such a light on you that it caused the kingdom of darkness around you to get mad and throw a temper tantrum. You are walking in righteousness. Persecution isn't just because you're you. Persecution because of righteousness. So I want to tell you, there are other forms of persecution, and there's probably a way that the Lord relates to all of that with a form of blessing, but that's not what we're talking about here. The Beatitudes are related to persecution because you loved Jesus so much, because you were a light, because you walked in righteousness, because you held the line on spiritual truth. And when you did that, people were like, nuh-uh, and they started to throw their weight around at you. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, now here's what I love about Jesus putting this blessed are those who are persecuted at the end of the list. I think, actually, that the last beatitude, the eighth beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, is actually a culmination of you living out the first seven. If you live out the first seven beatitudes, your life will be pretty righteous. You'll have a lot of reasons why people will want to hurt you. You'll have a lot of reasons why people will revile you, while people will call you a fanatic, while people will not get you. They won't understand you. They won't understand your ways, your responses. You'll be trying to walk according to the Beatitudes, and people will be trying to talk you out of it. And if you live out these Beatitudes, you're going to get persecuted, and Jesus knows that. So Jesus ends the Beatitudes with a culmination of three or four verses talking about, hey, if you guys do all this stuff I just said that you'll be blessed if you do, I got one more blessing. You can get beat up for it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so sweet. You're going to love this. And when you do, don't fight back. When you do, don't speak evil. When you do, instead, trust God. The culmination, you will be persecuted if you live out these Beatitudes. Because they're just so counterculture. That's why we're doing this series on the culture of the kingdom. I just want us thinking more about that culture, the right one, the one that we're really in, the one that's going to matter forever. You know, in 1,000 years, in 10,000 years, nobody's even going to think about or talk about the culture of America in 2019. It's going to be totally irrelevant. But the culture of the kingdom will matter forever. Let's go ahead and live according to the culture that's eternal. Jesus made it clear that if we follow him, we will face trouble. Jesus, like, I thought you set me up to have my best life now. Well, I did. It just happens to include persecution. It's better for you, I promise. John 15, 18 through 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you like its own. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will treat you this way because of my name. So Jesus is laying it out really clear. Persecution isn't a possibility, it's a promise. If you love me, if you follow me, they're going to do you like they did me. The world is going to treat you with the obscurity, with the obscenity, with the middle fingers on Bowen that they treated me. The world is not going to like you and not going to like what you stand for, just like it didn't like me. And that's actually awesome. It means you're doing something right. You get it. If you belong to the world would high five you all the time. If you're getting a lot of high fives from the world, you might want to check yourself. Because if you belong to the world will love you. But you don't belong to the world. And so it's not going to love you. It's going to unlove you. Now, one more point I want to make about this, because I don't want anybody to walk out of here with a little bit of a nut job sort of a perspective. Don't go looking for persecution. Don't go stir it up. It'll find you, okay? You don't got to go get more than you need, all right? Don't go and go into the craziest place and try to cause a Jesus scene just so that you can get beat up and persecuted and maybe not get to come home that day, okay? You don't have to go looking for persecution. That's not the point. It's the objective isn't to go out of your way to cause a riot. The objective is when the riot comes, because you walked with the Lord according to his purposes and his will, handle your heart rightly. Carry your heart in a good posture before the Lord. So don't go looking for it. And lastly, on this concept of why we're processing persecution, what all this is about, why we want to do this, is we want to test our persecution. We should test ourselves to see if we're being resisted by others. It's a good question to ask yourself. Often people are resisted for saying the truth with a wrong spirit or without wisdom. Now, did you say it stupid? Did you say it mean? Did you say it cruel? Did you say it with manipulation? Well, then you're not being persecuted because of righteousness. You're being persecuted because you did it wrong. You're being persecuted, and you could have avoided that if you would have said it with love, with kindness, with gentleness. If you wouldn't have tried to be, you know, so whatever about it. You want to test. When you're feeling persecution, because you're all going to feel it if you're walking with Jesus, you want to ask yourself the question, is this because of righteousness, or is this because I really mishandled the truth? Is this because I just said it so wrong? I said it so arrogantly. Because I went in with guns blazing, because I didn't do it with love. Is the kickback because of the truth, or is the kickback because of the delivery? Because if it's because of the delivery, there ain't no blessing on that one. Instead, learn the lesson. I'm learning all the time. I'll say something so wrong. I'll go, oh man. And then people come back and they're like, you said this. I'm like, you're totally right. What was I thinking? Help me, forgive me, please. Like, we have got to be humble to respond to when we say something with a wrong spirit, we say something with whatever, we say something with lack of intentionality and it hurts somebody, you're not being persecuted. That's you needing to learn a lesson about delivery. That's you needing to learn how to be kind and loving and gentle and all the other things that the New Testament talks about besides persecution. So it's just an important little lesson. The subject of being blessed because we're persecuted, it's really about relinquishing our personal rights again and again and again. The passage in Luke, this is Luke's take on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's given some lessons that he remembers Jesus saying. In Luke 6, 27 through 28, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Oh my gosh, this is like the most painful stuff ever. I'm having a hard time blessing people I like. Next week's Mother's Day, we got to figure out how to bless her. Like, man, this is a tough route, because Jesus goes the extra mile and the extra mile and the extra mile, and he says, love your enemies. Love them? Be all ooey gooey kissy face? Love my enemies? Love them? And do good to the people that hate me? I know you hate me, but I baked you a brownie. Oh my gosh, bless those who curse you. I know you just said all those really mean things to me with your middle finger, but I'm just going to smile at you so big. I'm going to smile Jesus right into you. Pray for those who mistreat you. This is tough talk here. All of these are expressions of persecution. And it's the response we're supposed to have where we just flat relinquish our rights. It's like we disappeared. It's no longer I who live for sure. Because there is no way a human being with any desire for self-preservation, any desire to protect themselves, there is no way that a human being would respond to enemies with love, those with hatred with good. I mean, it's just, this is crazy talk. It is a laying down of ourselves. The way we respond to persecution is we just lay down and we bless them. We trust God in the mistreatment. Go back to that Matthew 5:10-11. Matthew 5:10-11. This is what we're supposed to do. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. When people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, know that you're blessed. This comes down to being able to trust God in the moment. And I'll just tell you, this is going to take some training. This is not natural to any of us. I don't know a single person. I mean, the sweetest little Rhoda Jean, the sweetest one. It is not natural. It is not natural when someone is persecuting you for your first initial response to be to trust God in this moment, everything's going to be okay. Your natural tendency is to lash out. That is the natural human. At least it's what's raging inside. But we got to give ourselves a little bit of self-control. Remember the Holy Spirit? Given us a spirit of self-control. Some of that is to avoid us making a scene where there should be no scene. We need to love those who mistreat us. This Matthew 5:43-47. This is now Jesus a little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:43-47. This is now Jesus giving us even more on this subject of persecution, on the subject of the way we're supposed to interact with the people that are mistreating us. I just tell you this. If nobody's mistreating you today, that is awesome. But someone will. And they're going to mistreat you because of Jesus. The more that you walk with him, the closer that you get to him, the more that you stand for him, the more you will face backlash. And Jesus gives us significant information about how we're to respond. Again, Matthew 5:43-47, the point that we're trying to make here is that we would be those that are not just expecting persecution, but that we would know how to navigate it, that we would love those that mistreat us. Jesus says this, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, if you love those who love you, what reward are you going to get for that? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Love it when he rhymes. Do not even the pagans do that? He says, I want you to learn how to love your enemies. This is the lens that we need to be looking at in the moment of the persecution. How do I love this person? Can you just imagine you being the persecutor, okay? Remember before Christ, all right? Remember yourself and the anger in you. And now imagine that little Christian that's, oh, you know, that one that's always do-gooding. You know, that one that's always so happy and chipper and they're standing for Jesus and they talk about Jesus at the lunch table in the break room and they're always this and always that. And you're just giving them so much flack. You are tired of it. And you're speaking against them and they respond back to you, not with silence. They respond back to you with overt love. Yeah, it messes with you. Because even the most hardened, carnal BCU does not know what to do with that sort of a response. When someone responds, not in kind, not you know, you were persecuting them and saying insults and they respond with insults, not with silence that they just kind of shut down and, you know, rolled over, but they responded back with aggressive love. That you don't know what to do with that. It undoes you. I actually think this is one of the most powerful, not the, but one of the most powerful evangelistic tools we have in our belt. The hard ones. When they persecute, we turn around and love them instead. This is powerful. But Jesus gives us some tips here. He says we need to pray for those who persecute us. Pray for the softening of their heart. Pray for them. Love those who don't love you. Find a way to express that love. Even showing kindness to to them in ways, you know, just make up ways. Think about it. He keeps going. The Sermon on the Mount is actually filled with expressions of the way to navigate persecution. After Jesus gives this little introduction in the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are you if you're persecuted. He spends a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount unpacking it. Let me give you another one of those passages. It's Matthew 5, 39 through 41. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, that sounds like persecution. Turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This is intense. This is the way that Jesus is telling us. This is so countercultural. If I can just be honest, this is a massive struggle for all of us, self-included. That when someone does us wrong, when someone moves in on our space, someone moves in on our family, on our needs, on our desires, it is so our normal thought process to fight back as hard as we can. And Jesus makes this whole thing about, don't be like the pagans. That's what the pagans do. You have God living in you. You don't have to live like them. They don't have God to trust in. You have God to trust in. Let's learn to live with a trust in God that is active and alive, even in those moments where we're being, difficulties coming against us, when people are persecuting us. Learn to carry our hearts that way. I mean, this sounds crazy, but it also sounds so free, doesn't it? Like, who likes when somebody is mean to them, and then the rest of the day, you're just fuming all day about how mad you are and how you can't believe they did that to you? Like, that doesn't feel good. It makes everything bad. And your spouse will attest. Like, the way that you treat everybody when you're in that state, it's bondage. It's total bondage. You're in a bad mood. You can't enjoy anything that day. It's like, man, your favorite meal doesn't help. Like, just, you're like, blah, blah, blah. Because somebody else slimed you, you're now walking around with offense and ache. You're feeling even that distance between you and the Lord. That feels horrible. How freeing would it be to legitimately be in one of these situations and you're immediately plotting how to love them? They're still slapping you. It's still happening. Left, right, left. And you're thinking, man, I'm buying you a birthday cake tomorrow. I mean, it's like, how happy your heart would be at the end of it. They're all messed up and don't know why you're not fighting back. You're in a place where your heart is alive in God. I'd rather be alive in God than have good circumstances any day. I would rather my heart be alive in God. Me feeling his pleasure on me. Me knowing I operated according to the fruit of the Spirit, me knowing I walked out a way that pleases him, me being guaranteed the blessings that are promised by operating according to the Beatitudes, I would rather that than get a promotion or a new car. To be able to live in a position where your heart is free before God, that's a blessing in our lives. Jesus, again and again in the Sermon on the Mount, he uses this phrase, you have heard that it was said. Matthew 5:21, in the midst of all these verses that Jesus is giving us instruction about how to handle mistreatment and how to handle people hurting us and such, he says, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. This term, you have heard it said, I want to reiterate that again now in 2019, because we have heard it said, when someone wrongs us, we wrong them back. In our culture, the norm, and this is Jesus trying to punch the norm in the face. He's saying, you have heard it said, your typical response is, when something bad happens to you, you fire back. He said, this is how it is in your culture, and this is definitely how it is in our culture. Our culture teaches us retaliation. And that retaliation may not actually be an aggressive, act of violence, but it's absolutely a plotting to be able to get even with that person. And we're taught this. It's everywhere in our culture. It's infiltrated the church. It's a real plague in our midst. And Jesus, again and again in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've heard it said, you know your culture teaches you to do this, but I say. And Jesus' approach to the subject of persecution, but I say, is that we would turn around and we would figure out how to offer forgiveness, that we would figure out how to offer love, that we would figure out how to bless our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. Look at this, Matthew Matthew 6:12 and Luke 14:4. It's all, there's three verses on one slide, but we'll just take, I'll just look at those two. Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." And the Luke version says in Luke 14:4, "Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us." This is the way that Jesus wants us to approach persecution. Forgiveness, free heart, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, being able to have a good day, not a bad day, that the circumstances don't dictate our life. Our life in Jesus dictates our life. Jesus said, you can gain the whole world. You can have everything and forfeit your soul. Or you can lose the whole world and gain everything forever in your heart. It's not just talking about saved and lost. It's talking about alive or dead. You can be living dead. I want to live alive. I want my heart to be alive. I want to have the Holy Spirit resting on me. I don't want to live in retaliation over and over in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't live in retaliation. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Matthew 5:10, skipping down a little bit. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. I want to talk a little bit about the blessing. Just want to look at a couple of points, and then we'll finish up. Jesus said it. He said there's a blessing that rests, at least one. What is that blessing? How can it be that I'm blessed if I'm persecuted? It just seems like all I have when I'm persecuted is less than I had yesterday, a worse name than I had yesterday, a more difficult day than I had yesterday. How is it that I'm blessed? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Well, Romans 5:3-4 gives us one of the answers. Romans 5:3-4 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Persecutions are a significant part of suffering, okay? We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering, and again, I'm going to just highlight persecution as one of those sufferings. We know that suffering produces perseverance. So you could say persecution handled right produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. When you suffer persecution and you handle it rightly, you develop perseverance. Perseverance is one of the most abundantly praised fruit of the Spirit and heart responses in the New Testament. Perseverance, faithfulness, endurance, it all means the same thing. It means you've learned to be somebody that doesn't get blown around by a little wind. Perseverance. You stay the course when it's easy, when it's hard, when things are good, when things are bad, when the money's good, when money's bad. The subject of perseverance is one of the most powerful tools for a believer. If you can persevere, you can make it through anything. If you can just persevere, you can make it to a better day down the road. If you can just persevere, you can endure the difficulty in the relationship. If you can just persevere, if you can just not quit. Well, how do we get to a place where we're strong enough that we are one who heaven would esteem and say, you're a perseverer. You're one who knows how to persevere. You've got it in, built into your character. You've developed character and the subject of perseverance. It is now part of who you are. How do we get there? Get persecuted. Suffering produces perseverance. So when you suffer for Christ, and again, you carry your heart right, you don't get any points. You don't get anywhere if you just get through it and kind of grit your teeth and you gotta have a good attitude. But if you do, you will develop perseverance. And that perseverance, it develops additional areas of character. And when you've got character, you've got additional hope. I just wanna live with hope. I wanna live hope-filled instead of fear-filled. And part of the way that we get there is we go through persecutions and we hold our heart in the right posture. Well, next one. 1 Peter 4:14 says something sweet happens when you're persecuted. It says something sweet happens from heaven. You remember the moment of Stephen and his stoning in Acts chapter 7? Stephen is like defying all logic. You'd think if you didn't know that there were stones involved in the story, you'd think he was at a picnic, like having a quiet time with Jesus on a sunny day. He is smiling, he's happy, he's looking up to heaven. If you take out the fact that there are stones involved in this scenario, in this story, you would just think Stephen, like, woke, it was his birthday. But he was just having like a great day. Because he's smiling, he's filled with hope, he's filled with anticipation, he's encountering Jesus. Here's what 1 Peter 4 says. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Stephen, in that moment, with right perspective, had the Spirit of glory resting on him. And I think he felt it. Like, you know, the dude knows he's dying. You get hit with enough rocks, you got clarity. My time has come. Okay? He's got the Spirit of glory on him. He's like, this is the best day ever. Boom, boom, broken nose, ears gone. He's getting whacked with rocks, but he's got the Spirit of glory resting on him because this is one who had learned how to endure persecution with a right heart attitude, a right posture. And 1 Peter tells us, you're blessed when they insult you, for the Spirit of glory rests on you. I just want to tell you this. Sometimes you got to reach a little in faith. When that moment happens, just start fellowshipping with the Spirit of glory. Just start going, Holy Spirit, I know you're here right now, and I know you are like really, really, really happy. You're twice as happy as you were a minute ago. And you're happy at me, and you're happy on me, and you're happy with me, and you're happy for me. Because your glory is resting on me in this moment in a way that heaven, I have heaven's attention in a unique moment right now. Because I am insulted for Christ's sake. I am being like Christ on the earth. I did like Christ, and now I'm being insulted because I was like Christ. And now you are so happy, you are so pleased because you see the way that I'm enduring and holding up underneath this difficulty. The Spirit of glory rests on you. Matthew 5:10 tells us that there's an increased measure of the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. Now we all are going to, anybody that loves Jesus, anybody that's got the Holy Spirit living in them, you're going to heaven. Okay? But more than going to heaven, there is additional access to inheritance. The subject of inheritance, it's kind of a big deal, especially in a poor culture that Jesus is talking to. He's walking around, and you just know everybody is looking for somebody to check out and give them an inheritance, okay? Because their lives are hard, their access to resources is little. So when Jesus starts talking about inheritance, all of a sudden everybody's ears pop up. I mean, it's the equivalent of today winning lottery ticket. I've got it. I've got the winning lottery ticket. Anybody want it? Everybody's ears. Huh? Jesus starts talking about inheritance. He's immediately got the ears of everybody in the room. He says, the subject of persecution, you handle it right, you will increase your inheritance in the kingdom age. You will increase your inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, you're going, but I'm not talking about going. I'm talking about getting stuff on top of going. Inheritance. Not entrance. Not ticket in. Inheritance. You will increase your inheritance in the kingdom of heaven by enduring persecution. That's a pretty sweet promise. We're blessed if we're persecuted. I want us to look at it different. I want us to start to process it through that lens.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.